Now back to the book of Acts. Chapter 11 of the book of Acts. And we're going to look at verse 19 down through verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 19 down through verse 26. And we see in these verses the first gospel church raised up among the Gentiles located in this city known as Antioch. This church, according to secular history, this church at Antioch stood for the gospel for 500 years. This was a gospel preaching church. This church, hold your place there, turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 1. This church in Antioch, this group of Gentile believers, they were the first to send out missionaries, the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 13, and Barnabas, now, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they fasted, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and set them away. They sent them out preaching the gospel. And Paul used this church at Antioch as a base. Those three trips that he took, and you can look at those maps that they do, and they're quite helpful. Those three trips that he took, he always came back to the home church. He always came back to Antioch. But they were a missionary-minded church, interested in preaching the gospel all over the world. And the Apostle Paul did that throughout the Roman kingdom, as well as Barnabas and Silas and others. They were at this church, as it says in verse 19, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Now look at verse 19. We see the Lord's purpose when they were scattered abroad upon persecution at the stoning of Stephen. We see God's purpose in that because they were scattered everywhere, and as they went preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that is the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You see, the purpose of God in scattering the gospel out was to preach the gospel to God's elect, to preach the gospel to all men, and through that preaching He called out His elect. This trouble God sent on purpose. It was for the furtherance of the gospel, wasn't it? This persecution that arose against the church at Jerusalem, it was to disperse the gospel. You know, they would have stayed right there in that comfort zone, wouldn't they? But God drove them out of there, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Even though they'd been persecuted in the past for preaching Christ, they continued preaching the word. Look what it says in verse 19 and verse 20. They went preaching the word. They had not learned the whole commission of the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It says there, to none but unto the Jews only. But they did go preaching the gospel. And that's so important. I pray that the Lord will continue to call out and to bless men and to gift men and to send them out preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. To preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word. Preach Christ. Now look at verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus. That was Barnabas' home nation, Cyprus. He was from that island. And Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, these spake unto the Grecians. They preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Here they're reaching out further. They're reaching out to the Gentiles in Antioch. Preaching again. Notice what it said. Preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching. Preaching the Word. Preaching the Lord Jesus. It involves in telling who He is. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. God manifest in the flesh. To preach the Lord and to preach the Word is to preach what He accomplished. What He accomplished. He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. What is it to preach the Word and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ? It's to preach where He is now, victorious and exalted at God's right hand. When He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. Why did He sit down? You know, I sit down when my work is done. And that's the reason He sat down. His work was finished, accomplished. And they preached the Word. They preached the Lord Jesus, who He is, what He accomplished, where He is now exalted. And they preached salvation in no other. They preached salvation in no other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the constant preaching of the gospel, when blessed of God, notice the results. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Who sent them? Why did they go preaching? The hand of God's providence brought it to pass. The hand of God's providence led them. By the hand of God's power, they were able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hand of the Lord was with them. What about this hand of the Lord? You know, if you're bigger than I am and stronger than I am, I used to tell my boys that you can't stay my hand. When they were little bitty fellows. I can't tell them that anymore because they can whip the old man. But when they did it, little bitty fellows, I used to tell them that you can't stay my hand because I'm bigger than you are. You know what the Scripture says about the hand of God in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35? That He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay His hand, His arm. His power. He does whatever He wills to do with whom He will, when. None can stay His hand. You see, He's almighty. This is not the hand of Peter. This is not the hand of John. This is not the hand of the church in Jerusalem. This is the hand of God. The hand of the Lord was upon them and blessed them. And they preached the gospel with the hand of God. I desire that. In the preaching and in the hearing. May the hand of the Lord be with us. May His power bless us. His grace us and help us to exalt Christ in the preaching of the gospel. The hand of God's providence, power, and love and grace was upon them in a mighty way. And the result of that preaching and the result of God's power, they heard the Word. They did hear the Word. But not in word only. They heard the Word in power. It was blessed of God. The hand of the Lord was with them who heard it, with them who preached it. And the result of that was this. A great number believed. A great number believed. How much power does it take to save one sinner? It takes the almighty sovereign power of God to raise a man out of death and darkness and ignorance and to give him life in Christ. And if he saves one or if he saves 10,000, takes the same power. Power of God. A great number believe the gospel. How does a man do that? How does a man believe the gospel? Find Ephesians chapter 1. And this is what I tried to right back to that young man who asked me about how can I know if I'm one of God's elect? How can I know if He chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world? Well, it's to hear the gospel and to believe it and to love Christ in your heart. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 19. What is exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? How do you believe? Look what it says there. According to the working of His mighty hand, His arm, His power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Now, how much power did that take? To resurrect the dead body of the Lord Jesus, that took a lot of power, didn't it? Take the same power to resurrect and to bring forth a man who is spiritually dead into spiritual life, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. A great number believed. What did they believe? They believed what they heard. You see the necessity in preaching the gospel? A man can't believe what he's not heard. And he can't hear without a preacher. And a preacher can't preach unless he be sent of God with the message of God. A great number believed. And the result, again, they not only believed, but it was evidenced by this, they turned. Salvation is regeneration. It's a new creature. Regeneration, and then what's involved in regeneration? God giving life. And the result of that is conversion. There's a turning. You turn from your old idols, your old false profession, your refuge of lies. You turn from those things and you turn to the Lord. That's conversion. Turn to Him. This is the result of God's mighty power working in us. And it's demonstrated by counting all things else but loss, that we might win Christ and be found in Him. You see how this is God's blessing. This is the Lord fulfilling what He says in Matthew 16, I will build my church. And when He builds it upon Christ, the rock, the gates of hell cannot stop the work of God. You see, the hand of the Lord was upon them. And they believed the gospel and they turned to the Lord. It's a great turning. It's a looking to Him and running to Him and believing Him and coming to Him. Now, look at verse 22. Acts 11, 22. When tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, they heard of these Gentiles being converted. And unlike the story when they heard of the conversion of Cornelius and his house of Gentiles through the preaching of Peter. When Peter came back to Jerusalem and they heard of that, you remember last week they contended with him? Here, the fight's gone. They're no longer contending, they're rejoicing. Look what it says. Then tidings, good news of these things came to the ears of the believers in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. Barnabas, you go up there and help those people. Go up there and help those preachers. That he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 23. Who? Barnabas. When he came to Antioch. Now, it was a... you look at your map. From Jerusalem to Antioch is a long, long journey. Several hundred miles. Difficult miles, especially in this day. But when he got there, by the hand of God's providence, by the hand of God's power, when he came, and had seen God's grace, or the grace of God, he was glad. He rejoiced in heart. He was glad. And then he exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave to the Lord. Cleave unto the Lord with purpose of heart. He saw what God's grace had done to these pagan idolaters. Now, these people were pagan. This is a Roman colony, a Roman city, and they're just flat pagans. They know nothing of God, nothing of truth, nothing of the gospel. These were gross, base idolaters. And now he sees these people believing the Lord Jesus Christ and loving Him. and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And when he saw God's grace manifested, he rejoiced in heart. He rejoiced in heart. Doesn't it bless you and encourage you when you hear good news from a far country? When someone you hear of, or in some church is being raised up, or someone believing the gospel of God's grace. Doesn't it rejoice your heart? And that's what Barnabas experienced here. And he's seeing all these, this is a great multitude of believers. I would be astounded. Oh, he was glad. He gave thanks unto the Lord. And he continued to preach the gospel to them. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, purpose in your heart. You see, salvation's a heart work. Set your affection, set your heart on things above. And that's what a believer does. He has to live here and exist here. But his heart is set on things above in Christ. That with purpose of heart, boldness of heart, liberty of heart, with a believing heart, that you get a death grip. You know what he's saying here? Persevere. Continue in the faith. You have belief, well, keep on believing. And believers will, because they're kept by the power of God. But this is an interesting word here. Lay hold on eternal life and don't let go. You imagine this morning, out here in this river. Say little Aaron right here. Got out there and playing around in that old muddy water when the water was still high. And got caught up in that current and started going down. And Dave, you'd run out there and you'd get a, what would you do? You'd get a death grip on his hand, wouldn't you? You'd cleave to that boy and you wouldn't let go, would you? Wouldn't let go. That's exactly what he's saying here. With purpose of heart, you cleave, get a death grip on the Lord Jesus Christ. As old Jacob said, I won't let go till you bless me. Brother Montgomery used to say, hug up to Christ. Don't let go. And you won't. If you're a believer, you won't. But the encouragement here is with purpose of heart. In your heart. In your heart. Salvation is a matter of the heart. Cleave to the Lord. Verse 24. It describes something about God's servant Barnabas. And I believe this is true of all God's people. All who believe the gospel. Says here he was a good man. He was a good man. How can he be a good man? He's a sinner. There's none good, no, not one. Well, he's not talking here about his justifying righteousness before God. But he's talking here that this grace of God that was manifested in his heart, he was an honest man. He was an obedient man. In God's sight and in Christ, he was a good man. That's what he's saying here. He was a good man made. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good work. In himself, he's nothing. But in Christ, he's an honest, obedient servant of the Lord. And that's a good description of God's people. They're a good people. And you know what I mean by that. They're good in Christ. But not only that, they're just flat good folks. They're honest, loving, kind, gracious, generous, willing to do anything to help you out. He was a good man and he was full. Barnabas was full. Was it full of pride? Was it full of unbelief? Was it full of a covetous spirit? He was full of God. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And that's true of every believer. We're full of God's Spirit. He dwells in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he was not only full of the Spirit of God, but he was full of faith. He was a believer. Without, now you listen to this scripture, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? A man without faith is a man without Christ. A man without Christ is a man without life. A man without life has no justifying righteousness before God. And much people, look at verse 24, and much people, much people, much people was added to the Lord. Much people believed. Turn over to chapter 13, Acts chapter 13. Who are these that believe? These much people who believe God and believe the gospel. Look what it says here, chapter 13 of Acts. Verse 48, speaking of these Gentiles here where Paul and Barnabas had been preaching. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many believed, were ordained to eternal life. Uh-oh. Preacher misread that. I did on purpose. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed not. This religious world turns that verse on its head. They've got it backwards. As many as were ordained. It says there that many believed. A great number and turned to the Lord. And they were added. They were added. Added. Added as members of His body. Made one with Christ. Union with Christ. Verse 25, then it says that Barnabas, he went to Tarsus. Now, Tarsus is a neighboring city of Antioch. You can look at your map there. And he goes and he finds his friend in the gospel, his brother. Turn back to Acts chapter 9. Look at this. Acts chapter 9. It says in verse 29 of Acts 9, 29. Now, why is Saul in Tarsus? Well, it's his home city. But why is he there? Because he was persecuted for the gospel. Acts 9:29, he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed with the Grecians. But they went about to kill him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, place of safety, sent him back to his home people. What do you reckon he did when he got down to Tarsus and he got among his family and his brethren? You know what he did? He told them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no record of any of, scriptural record of any of Saul of Tarsus, his brothers, sisters, mom, dad, family, any of them believers. I don't know. But I bet, let me rephrase that. I pray that God would have mercy on some of his family and bless those. Now notice verse 26. When he found him, I'm sure that Saul of Tarsus was down there in that city preaching the gospel. And he found him about the Lord's business, but he said, let's go to Antioch. There's a great number of people there who believe, and you can be a great help to those people. He brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that whole year. One whole year, they assembled themselves with the church. With the church. That word church means called out. Those who have been called out of darkness to light. They assembled with those who love God and love the gospel. What a blessing God's given us to assemble together as the Lord's people, as His body, as His church. And they taught. Notice who they taught. They taught much people. Well, there was a lot of folks in that church. A lot of folks in that congregation. And they taught much people. And they were called Christians first at Antioch. They put such an emphasis upon, and the reason they were called Christians, they put such an emphasis upon the doctrine of Christ. They put such a strong emphasis upon preaching Christ, the doctrine singular of Christ, His blood, His sacrifice, His person. The unbelievers in that city, that large city, referred to them, well, those folks over there, they're followers of Christ. They're Christians. And it means anointed follower of Christ. Anointed followers of Christ. Before these believers had been called, they've been called Nazarenes. You remember Jesus of Nazareth. And his followers were known as, it says in Acts 24:6, that these were Nazarenes. And Paul was the ringleader of that sect of the Nazarenes. And then in chapter 2, on that day of Pentecost, when the apostles and those people started preaching the gospel in other languages, they said, well, these men are drunkards. They're Galileans. The followers of that wine bibber from Galilee. And here, the unbelievers in this city referred to them as Christian followers of Christ. The name was used not to honor them. The name was used to mock them and to despise them. You remember in Acts chapter 26, when Paul preached to Agrippa, he said, you almost persuaded me to be Christian, to be a follower of Christ. Now listen to me carefully. I don't want to confuse you, but I want to sound a warning here. God's people throughout the Word of Truth are called by many names. Now listen to me carefully. They're called servants. They're called saints. They're called sinners. They're called disciples. They're called brethren. They're called the elect. They're called the sheep. They're called the called out. They're called the church. They're called believers. They're called the servants of the Lord. You never find in Scripture one time in the Word where a believer called himself a Christian. Now check me out on it. Paul and Peter and John, none of them in Scripture called themselves a Christian. They called themselves servants of the Lord, lovers of Christ, believers, followers of the Lord. But they referred to themselves as a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, you'll never hear me refer to myself, have you, as a Christian. Let's refer to one another as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you why. This term today that's thrown around, Christian, it's meaningless. Absolutely meaningless in this day. We have what's called as Christian music. What is that? Well, most of it's trash. We talk about Christian radio. How do you do that? Talk about Christian TV stations. Well, most of that, you know what that is. Nothing but trash. Talk about Christian businesses. I don't want anything to do with that. Talk about Christian schools. And even some go so far and to say that we live in a Christian nation. I know that's not true. We live in a pagan nation. There are some people, by God's grace, are called to believe the truth and to believe the gospel. These who take the name Christian with music and business and schools and nations, they hate the doctrine of Christ. I'm telling you the truth. Now they do. What then makes for a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what is described in these verses? They're called believers. They're called here in this text those who have turned to the Lord. They're called those who have purpose in heart, cleave to Him. They are full of the Holy Spirit. They're full of faith. They are those who have been added to the body of Christ. And they assemble with the church. I think one verse sums up what a believer is. And let's use that term, because as I said, you'll never find any believer in the Bible, Paul or John, you check me out, refers to himself, I'm a Christian. Not there. Look at John chapter 10. I believe this sums up a believer. You see, everybody calls himself a Christian today, don't they? They don't have a clue, most of them, who the true Christ of God is. They've got a counterfeit Jesus. They refer to Him as sweet Jesus.
That makes me sick. I could almost throw up when I hear that kind of talk. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's God, my Savior.
John chapter 10, look at verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And the Lord... Now, Scripture can call Him Jesus, the Savior, walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said to Him, "How long dost Thou make us to doubt? If You be the Christ, You tell us plainly." And He answered, and He said, I told you the truth. You don't believe Me. You don't believe Me. You believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me, and you believe not. Now get a hold of verse 26. You believe not because you're not of My sheep. You don't believe Me because you're not one of My elect. As I said unto you, My sheep, they hear My voice. I know them and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. You see, the sheep hear His voice. And they know Him, and He knows them. He loves them and they love Him and they follow Me. They have that death grip on Christ. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. That's a good description of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.